Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
A couple of days ago, my family watched perhaps the greatest rendition of a Christmas carol ever made, and that is The Muppets Christmas Carol. Sir Michael King gives one of the greatest performances of his career as he plays the old curmudgeon Ebenezer Scrooge, whose heart is strangely warmed and experiences a transformation of new life. But some years ago, there was a film entitled The Man Who Invented Christmas, detailing how Charles Dickens came to write the famous story. And at that time, in 1840s England, surprisingly, Christmas was not a big deal. But the book Dickens wrote had a profound impact upon the culture and upon Christmas and how it was celebrated. Yet the film, its title is somewhat misleading, for it was not a Victorian writer that invented Christmas, but it was rather the will of God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
I love the lessons and carols service of our Anglican tradition, what we are celebrating here tonight. We have 9 lessons from Holy Scripture, with a carol sung as a response to each. And the lessons and the carols, they tell a story. And that story is, it's all about Jesus. Say that with me. It's all about Jesus. But what is the it of it's all about Jesus? Human history, of course. Bishop Leslie Newbegin once commented that the Lord Jesus is the clue to history. From creation to new creation, Jesus is the focal point, not just of the human story, but also our individual stories as well. It's always been about Jesus, and it always will be. And it's my job tonight on this most holy night to proclaim this fact. Our first lesson this evening begins in Eden, after rebellion against the Lord and spiritual death enters into the story. At this very early point in the Bible, we see that we need a Savior, someone who can deliver us from Satan's tyranny, from sin, and from death. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This verse, Genesis 3:15, is what the church fathers of old called the first proclamation of the gospel, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet how was God to do it? By choosing one man, Abraham. From the offspring of this one man, blessing would come to the entire world because of the promised one. And whereas Abraham's son Isaac was spared on Mount Moriah, God's son would not be spared. Indeed, Jesus, like Isaac, would carry wood, but unlike Isaac, Jesus would pour out his life for the life of the world upon the hard wood of the cross. And yet, history had to wait a long time for Jesus to come. From Abraham to Jesus, there is a period of 2,000 years. The nation that came forth from Abraham, the nation of Israel, waited, as did the nations of the world, for the deliverer that was to come. And Israel learned that even though they were created and chosen by God, they couldn't walk with God in their own strength. In other words, they continually dropped the ball, seeking after other gods and worldly pursuits, despite being in a covenant relationship with the Lord. Therefore, the prophet Isaiah cries out that the promised one would indeed come, and when he did come, everything would change. Everything. People walking in darkness shall behold his marvelous light. And from the royal line of David, Jesus would come. And at his coming, he would judge with righteousness. Upon him would be the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So what we behold, dear friends, from the words of the Old Testament is this: Christmas was a long time coming. Say that with me. Christmas was a long time coming. It was not the invention of any man, but came from the will of God Almighty for the broken world he so desperately loves. Yet when the time eventually arrives for his coming, it is shocking nonetheless. Even though it was prophesied long and long ago, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The annunciation to Mary by Gabriel not only is the fulfillment of prophecy, but gives to us the promised one's name, Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. This deliverer's reign will have no end, and his entrance into the world is striking as it should be, because the author has now entered into history in flesh and blood. Jesus is incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He is fully God and fully man. He comes to us in great humility, not as a William Wallace, but as a baby. He comes not to be born in a royal palace, but in a cave where animals were sheltered. And at his birth, the angelic hosts sing praises to God, as do the lowly, lowly shepherds. Eventually, even the affluent magi, representing the nations of the world, come and bring their treasures, and they bring them and they give them to the Christ child. So you see, it's always been about Jesus, my friends. Angels, shepherds, wise men worship him. And you and I should as well. For the promised one has come into the world, and he longs to come into our very lives too. Our last lesson tonight speaks of Jesus coming into the world, but his own people did not receive him. Angels, shepherds, and magi worshiped Jesus when he was but an infant, but as he grew, most within Israel rejected him. Yet the Apostle John comments in John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, Jesus took on human flesh, became man for our sakes. He came to deliver us from sin, death, and the powers of hell. And this cannot be overstated. It can never, ever be overstated. Because it means that those who receive him, the gift of all gifts, we become sons and daughters of the living God. For as C.S. Lewis rightly noted, great Anglican, by the way, but as he rightly noted, the Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God. The Lord Jesus came to make us new, my friends, to make us truly and fully human. Jesus is not just the clue of human history. He is the clue to your life and to my life. We were made to live in union with him. Therefore, as the old carol puts it, love came down at Christmas. The Christmas story is about how our Redeemer came to save us. Christmas indeed was a long time coming. But it was the invention of God and not of man. And its coming forces a response. The story we have heard tonight reminds us once more that it's all about Jesus, and it always will be. Will we receive the deliverer and be forever changed? Or will we reject him who came to bring us life and unending light? Jesus alone, my brothers and sisters, is God's rescue plan. And he alone is the clue to human history in our very lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.